Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Of course, the story around and the developments around the potential warrant for arrest for Netanyahu has been ongoing. And there's been a request for the fact and an argument that the request for the warrant against Israelis is purely political. So the Turo Institute on Human Rights and Holocaust submits a brief to the ICC on Karim Khan's request for arrest warrants against Netanyahu and Gallant. And they were trying to show why the process is illegitimate and has been politicized. Well, we wanted to chat a little bit more about this. Professor Henny Strydom is a professor of international law at the University of Johannesburg. He also holds the South African Research Chair in International Law. Professor, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, and I'm fine, thanks. Hope on your side too.
All good. So, to what extent can this be argued that these arrests or request for arrest warrants, because they have not yet been issued, are in fact politicized? And is there a way to look at this objectively to test this?
Yeah, certainly. I think to understand the context, one has to look at the hurdles that the prosecutor must cross in order to, first of all, start an investigation, and secondly, to apply for warrants of arrest. It is clear from the Rome Statute that a commencement of an investigation needs evidence to be placed before a pre-trial chamber of the court.
Right.
And to make out a case that there is sufficient evidence available to proceed with an investigation. So that pretrial is then analyzing the evidence placed before it by the prosecutor, and to then determine whether there is in fact sufficient evidence to start with an investigation. If the court says yes, you can go ahead, then of course the prosecutor will then gather more evidence because the second hurdle is still awaiting him or her. And that is, in order to apply for a warrant of arrest, the prosecutor must again place evidence before the court to indicate that there is a reasonable prospect of a successful prosecution and that the evidence links certain persons with the offences committed.
Right.
So, and it is only when the court is satisfied that that threshold has been crossed or overcome that the court will then grant the issue of the warrants of arrest. And as I understand the process, we are at that point where the court is assessing the evidence placed before it by Mr. Khan,
right,
to see whether there is a reasonable prospect of a successful prosecution.
Does it normally take this amount of time?
Yes, it can. It depends on the volume of evidence placed before the court. And, of course, the court must make a thorough investigation and assessment of the evidence so that it has enough evidence to state the reasons for granting.
Right.
Or the reasons for refusing the granting of the warrants of arrest.
And who makes that decision when you say the court? What kind of a panel is that?
Well, it's a panel that is made up or consists of judges of the court. So the court has different chambers: the pre-trial chamber, the trial chamber, and there's an appeal chamber.
Right.
So judges of the court from the panel of judges are allocated to the pretrial chamber, and they sit in judgment on that part of the proceedings. And then the trial, of course, will go to a different chamber of the court where other judges are sitting.
Right, right. And is there any way, so will they take into account this argument that in fact it's politicized, or do they not look at that evidence at this stage because it's not relevant to the case?
Well, it may be relevant because if there's, I think you've stated there's an NGO has submitted certain documentation or evidence to sustain their argument that it was a political decision. So, of course, the court will have a look at it and determine whether it's relevant or not relevant. And if relevant, that will form part of the whole package of evidence that ended up before the court for it to make a call.
Right.
One or the other side, yeah.
I'd imagine that if it is politicized or if there's a strong argument that it is, the court needs to be very careful because it really can discredit itself quite severely if it becomes a political tool rather than a organization that's designed to deal with these very serious cases.
You're absolutely correct in that, and that is why we have these two hurdles built into the Rome Statute, is to prevent that from happening.
Right.
Because now you shift the responsibility to decide about the merits of the application and the investigation to the court, and not leave it in the hands of the prosecutor, him or herself. So they have to exercise due diligence, the members of the court, when making a call on the basis of the evidence provided to them, in their own interest and in the interest of the whole process and legitimacy of the whole process. Because if it falls apart already at that point in time, then it discredits the whole proceedings.
Absolutely, it will be very interesting. Could you make a call on it, or is it difficult to say?
I don't have the evidence that was submitted or would be submitted to the court by the NGO. So I do not know what justifications they are putting forward and what the merits of it are. So I can't make a call on that.
That is where we leave it. It's very interesting. Of course, we continue to follow the story. That was Professor Henny Strydom. He's a professor of international law at the University of Johannesburg. He holds the South African Research Chair in International Law.